stand and get your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to read all 13 verses together. Sorry, some of you will get your Bible reading in for the day. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13, we'll read responsively. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13. And I want to help you today. We'll read the scripture. I'll pray. We'll have a special. And then I'll come back and preach. I plan on getting done right at noon today. But I've planned a lot of things that didn't work out. So, all right. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall be vanished away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, even as also I am known. And let's finish on verse 13. Ready? And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And let's pray. Father, I sure do need you this morning. Lord, my words won't help these folks. Your words will. I pray that you would preach through me, use me to help these your people. Lord, again, I'm just a sinner like they are. I don't have anything of myself that I could give them, but I can give them your eternal perfect words. I pray that we would listen as the message is given. Change our hearts and our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me preach to you for just a little while this morning. I have used 1 Corinthians 13 often in preaching. It's known as the chapter of love, charity. Now, let me start by saying this. You all are good people. You wouldn't be here today if you weren't a good person necessarily, but every person in this room loves someone. Every person in this room is loved by someone. Let me be a little bit human with you for a moment. Everybody in this room wants to be loved. We all do. We're human. We want to be loved. I don't claim to be an expert about much. I have good knowledge about many different things, but I'm not an expert. I'm not a big shot. I believe a big shot's a little shot that just keeps on shooting, amen? I'm not much, but I do know one area of life probably better than most people. I think I could say I've become a bit of an expert in this one area. After 50 years of life, after 37 years of preaching, after 30 years almost full-time in Christian service, I think I've learned something about love and love relationships better than most. I've learned how to love. I've learned how to teach people how to love. And at every age level, and at every experience level, and at every kind of person there is. I told my wife this morning, I've been up since about 3 this morning. God doesn't speak in dreams, just so you know. All right? I preached on that Wednesday night, I believe. But did you ever have one of those dreams that seems so real? I had one of those and woke up about 3 o'clock this morning. I told my wife, I said, and I mentioned the person's name.
And they're a preacher that is fallen. Matter of fact, has spent time in jail.
And I was, in my dream, I was with them, saw them speak, and I watched thousands of people condemn this man, wouldn't even talk to him, were treated him unkind. My wife and I were the only two to walk up and greet him and put our arms around him and say, I love you, don't like what you did, but I still love you. And I was heartbroken that nobody loved or cared about that man. I thought, how sad. These are supposed to be Christian people. And yet, they wouldn't even give him the time of day. That was just, and by the way, God wasn't speaking to me in a dream, all right? It was not that, but it was just so real to me. I knew what I was preaching today. You probably go through life, listen to this statement, never getting the amount of or the depth of love that you want. A person, though, who truly loves, a person who truly longs to love God's way, listen to this statement, doesn't stop to check how much they're being loved. If you're going to love the way you're supposed to love, you're not going to stop and check to see how much love you're getting. Now, we're sinners. So I'll say it this way. We don't check it very often. About like you ladies with the oil, amen? A person who deeply loves will not ever feel anyone can love them as much as they love that person. I love that little lady right there, my wife. I love her more than anybody in the world could ever love her. She and I joke about this all the time, just about every day. I said, I love you more than you could ever love me. Now you ask her, she'll tell you she loves me more than I could love her. She has to. All right? No. Some of you need to wake up, all right? Slap yourself or slap somebody. Can I slap him? Oh, all right. I love her. I tell my daughter all the time, I said, I love you most. No, you don't, Daddy. I love you more. I said, no, you don't. I got almost 30 years more experience at love than you do. Nah. She said, that's not fair. I said, doesn't matter if it's fair. The old man can outlove you. I've been at it a lot longer. Now, she one day said, well, you've only loved me since I was born, but I've loved you my whole life. I said, no, I loved you before you were hatched. I said, I've loved you longer than you knew what the word meant. That's not fair, Daddy. And I've thought through this thing. Now, can I tell you something? I, as your pastor, will tell you this. I love you. And honestly, I think I can love you more than you could ever love me. I was working with a pastor early this morning, going through a battle. And he said, preacher, he said, I know you've been through this just recently. And he's got some people that are stabbing him in the back and leaving the church. And I said, brother, you'll get through it. I promise you. Just know this. Keep on loving them. Just keep loving them. I said, I know you want to be loved, but quit worrying about being loved and go love somebody. Now, the most miserable, the most dissatisfied, the most unhappy people in all the world are those people seeking to be loved. Can I say that again? You are at your worst time. You are at your loneliest time. You are at your most miserable time when you look around and say, well, I'm not getting the love I want right now. You go person to person seeking to be loved as much as you want. Let me bring it down to where we live. That's why we have a perverted LGBTQ society today. Everybody's looking to be loved. They're not looking to love God's way. They've gone from person to person to thing to whatever, and they don't even know what bathroom to use. You say, why? Because they so badly want to be loved that they've worn out one area of life, so let's try something that hasn't been explored before. Say, why? Because they just want to be loved. They can't find satisfaction. And if you are looking to be loved, may I say this, you will not find total satisfaction. You'll not find it here amongst sinful people. Look at how promiscuous and sensual our world is today. They can't sell a cup of coffee without it being sensual. Good night. If you ain't got a half-undressed woman or a guy with bulging muscles or whatever, you can't sell a cup of coffee. Everything is about sensuality.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. They teach things in the public schools today that ought to be saved for a couple and their pastor right before they get married. Sex education was not intended to start at kindergarten. It was intended to start in the pastor's office or with a mom and dad right before the kids got married.
Say, well, how are they going to figure it out? Trust me, it gets done. You say, well, preacher, you're just so old-fashioned. Thank you. When I was a kid, they didn't have nurseries at the school for the children of the students.
That's right.
Our world today is the sum total of man seeking to be loved. We live in such a selfish, me first, I want this world. I'm sorry to say, even we Christians sometimes can and do live much of our lives this way. 50% of all marriages end in divorce. Can I tell you why? About 98% of those is because somebody wants to be loved instead of loving the other person. Well, I want this. I want that. How about what does the other person need? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Our sin and desire to be God of our own life drives this.
The first sin was Satan tempting man to be his own God. You can be God knowing good and evil for yourself. And since that time, man struggles with God being God and man not being God. By the way, that's what the difference between Christianity and religion is. By the way, there are quote-unquote Christian religions that are as bad as heathen because it's man telling God how God has to accept what man has said God must accept. What right do we have to tell God what he has to accept of me for me to go to heaven? I'm the one that sinned, not God. And religion that bases everything on what you do, your good works, your baptism, your church membership, you living a certain lifestyle, or you doing some strange things. God didn't set those standards. Man did. God said we're all sinners. Because we're sinners, we deserve hell. And that Jesus Christ came and paid that sin debt for us. And all we have to do is trust him to get to heaven. True religion is this. You trust Jesus by grace through faith. If it's not that, don't care what name's on it, it's wrong.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if it says Baptist on the sign, it's wrong.
Right.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
We have a sinful nature, and we all have a mentality that we deal with that struggles with us being God. Let me show you what I mean.
Well, I don't see what's so wrong with that. What's so bad about that? Well, I don't see it that way, Brother Stoltz. Well, I hate to tell you, it doesn't matter how you see it. How does he see it? When you struggle with the things of the Word of God, it's because you want to be God. You don't want to let God be God.
Now, we find ourselves upset with God and with God being unfair at those times. Can I tell you something?
Brother Jimbo, I don't think it's unfair for some of the things God said, because I've seen the way of the world. Brother Jimbo's brother passed away about 6 months ago, somewhere in that ballpark. Brother Jimbo's brother was rough. Please excuse me. I've been in West Virginia long enough to say this and not be crude. But he was just an old rough redneck. Drunk. The man lived for alcohol and smoking his cigarettes. Oh, wait a minute. Miss Loretta called me and said, he's dying at the nursing home, preacher. You better get over there, because he's going to go to hell if somebody doesn't win him. Don't tell Jimbo why I told you, because he'll get mad at me. And she said, preacher, he may kick you out of the room. He may call you things you don't want to hear. I said, I've been called those things before. Doesn't bother me. I went in. Jimbo was there. And Jimbo's eyes went, brr, preacher's here. He introduced me to his brother. And then he left the room. I thought, thanks, Brother Jimbo. Leave me here by myself to get cussed out. I sat down beside that man's bed. We talked for a while. I opened up the Bible. I showed that man how to get to heaven. Big old tears running down his face while he trusted Christ as his Savior. He was so addicted to alcohol, the doctor had written a prescription for him to have alcohol every day so that he didn't DT in the nursing home. We talked a little while longer, went out and told Brother Jimbo his brother got saved. I left. Brother Jimbo went back in. Come to church the next morning. Jimbo and Loretta get off the elevator here at the top of the steps. Miss Loretta shaking her head. She said, preacher, you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. I said, what's that? She said, Jimbo's brother. As soon as he walked back in the room, said, you know that stuff down there at the desk they got for me? That booze? He said, you go tell them I don't need it anymore. I talked to the preacher. Never had another drink the rest of his life. 2 weeks. I went back. She said, he's calling you his preacher. She said, he had never used those words. I went back the next week. I think, Brother Barnes, I think you were with me. Man, he told me how he got saved. We talked about it. It was exciting. I got to preach his funeral. Or his memorial service. What an exciting time. I think we had about 25, 30 people get saved at his funeral. Can I tell you something? He didn't live a good life. But he still died and went to heaven. It's not by what you do. It's by what Jesus did for you. And you just accept it.
That's right. Yes, sir.
By the way, he's still there in heaven. He's not going to leave. Amen. Now, we find ourselves thinking God's unfair. But that's according to how we think. Brother Jimbo, I thank God I haven't drank alcohol. I'm going to preach to every one of these little kids, don't drink it. It's bad for you. God says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If you're not wise, it's foolish. You want to be a fool? Drink. Amen? If you don't drink. God said, don't do it. God said, don't put the bottle to your brother's lips. Don't even touch the stuff. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth the color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright in the cup. God said, don't even look at it. Used to be a day where grocery stores weren't open on Sundays and you couldn't buy it. Then the grocery stores opened up, but they wouldn't let you go down the beer aisle, and they covered it up with blankets so you couldn't even see it. That was biblical. Back when America had some Christian character to it. Now, we want to do it our way. Let me say this. Let me preach to you to show you how to get the love you want. God says there is a way for you to get the love you want. But it's not going to be the way you think. You see, God is the source of all love. Brother Stoltz, come on up here for a second. You're not the source of all love. He is the source of all ugliness. I mean, here's a man that, he's a good man that loves people. He got up early this morning, get up and go work on the bus route and pick up kids on the bus, bring them to church. Does that every week. That's a man that loves people. That's a man that grieves over the fact of people that used to come to church that are struggling with it right now and won't come back or got too busy for church. And it grieves him that they're putting God aside to make money. Say, what is that love? But Brother Schultz, you're not the source of it. God's the source of love. As good of a man and as good of a heart as he has, he's not the source of love. God is. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me introduce you to how to get the love you want. Number one,
Love is satisfied in giving, not getting. Love is satisfied in giving, not in getting. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, the Bible says, doth not behave itself unseemly, watch this, seeketh not her own. I'm going to embarrass my wife for a second, not too much. She cooked today, so I want to eat. Do you know I'm not supposed to want love from my wife? I'm supposed to love her and give her what she wants. I'm not to worry whether I get what I want. I'm to concern myself with giving her what she wants. Do you know she's happiest when she's not worried about what she gets, but what she gives? Can I tell you, after almost 29 years of being married, do you know my wife and I have never raised our voices to each other? I know that could change today. But we're doing pretty good. You say, do you agree that much? Mm-mm. But we don't argue about it. Shoot, there's times I disagree with myself. I know how hard that is. But you don't have to be unkind about it. Say why? Because I want her to have what she wants. I'm not worried about what I... You say, preacher, what do you want? Nothing. My wife will say, I'm going to the store. What do you want? Nothing. It doesn't matter. What she feeds me, I will swallow. Amen. I'm not one of those people that craves food. Now, I like to eat. God knows that. Amen. Don't laugh. It's all paid for. Now, wait a minute. I enjoy eating, but I don't have those foods that I just have to have all the time. Say, what food do you have to have? Whatever she made. Man, after the kids left home, I found out there's something called leftovers. What a joy. I didn't know there was such a critter for a long time. Now, wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, seeketh not her own. Love is a giving word. It's not a getting word. The very word love, charity, means giving love. Everybody look at me. You are happiest when you do something for someone else, not when it's done for you. You are happiest when you do something for others, not when it's done for you. There's a wealthy man that has given our church a huge portion of money. Lives in a distant state, lives in Indiana. Stuart McMillan and his wife challenged us a year ago December to raise $30,000. They would match what we had with that 30 and the 30 we had in the bank and give us $60,000. We raised $35,000 over the month of December. Try that at Christmas time. God provided. So he gave us $65,000. This last February, I got an email from him. He said, my wife and I have some crumbs left in the bottom of our Christmas cookie jar. He said, can you give me your bank information, the routing number, and I'll wire some money into your church account for a rainy day? Sure. I found out 4 days later he wired $100,000 and put it in our checking account. Glory to God. That man's crumbs are bigger than my cake. I can't wait to see the cookie jar. Let me tell you. I've written him several thank you cards. We wrote him and sent him a whole bunch of cards and pictures from the little ones, thanking he and his wife. And this is what he told me. He said, we appreciate that. We're sitting here crying, but don't ever say thank you again. We get a bigger blessing by giving than you have by getting. I remember the day Stuart got saved. About 30 years ago. I remember the day he got saved. He said, don't thank me. He said, quit thanking me. He said, I have more fun giving than you get getting. I'm thinking you must be having a ball. I sent him some pictures this week of the property progress. He said, that's funny. He said, I was just showing the video of you rolling in the mud to some people. I'm thinking, wait a minute. He's dealing with multimillionaires from all over the world, and he's showing this old preacher rolling in the mud in his suit. I thought, oh, well, here we go. Can I tell you something? It's more fun to give than it is to get. It really is. Love is satisfied in giving. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not that he got, but that he gave. Love has to give or it is not love. You cannot love without giving. You don't love because you get, you love because you give. When we start wanting to be loved as much as we think we do love, our love is not as deep as we thought it was. When you start giving, hoping that someone gives back, you don't love. These preachers that get on television, oh, you got to give to God. Sign your check off and give it to God as seed money. That's why they drive around in $100,000 cars and live in multi-million-dollar houses, and everybody else is dirt poor. They're saying give to get. That's not what God said. God said you give, you obey, God will bless you if you're tithing as you should, Malachi 3. He'll pour out a blessing and he will rebuke the devourer. But may I say this, it's not seed money, it's obedience, and God blesses obedience. Amen. You've never heard me preach any more than that. Not going to, because anything outside that's outside the Bible. When we get selfish wanting to be loved, it's time for us to just go out and love somebody. And by the way, I get that way every once in a while. I'm human like you. I'll get down and say, man, I've loved and loved and loved and loved and loved and loved and loved. Lord, isn't there anybody that's going to love me? And the Holy Spirit kicks in and says, what are you wanting it for? How about you go give some? You're not happy when you get it. You're happy when you give it. I get up off my chair, get off my backside, and go out and do something to help somebody. I'll be honest with you. Yesterday, it felt a little bit that way yesterday morning. Can you push that door shut for a second? Oh, hello there. Voices. Now, wait a minute. Yesterday morning, I felt just a tinge of that. Not a lot, but just a little bit. And I heard Mr. Cole getting off the elevator, grabbing his cart, rolling it on that old brick out there. I went to the door and I thought, I'm going to greet Mr. Cole. Not that Mr. Cole, that Mr. Cole. I went out and howdied him for a moment. He said, Pastor, he said, could you do me a favor? I said, I'd do anything if it's in my power to do it. He said, I'll stand right here. Could you take my cart and go down to my car? And he said, I got some papers on the back seat. Could you get them for me? I said, yes, sir, and no, sir. And he looked at me. I said, you just take your cart and keep going. I'll go down and just pick them up. I said, if I got to make two trips, I'll make two trips, but it's no big deal. I promise you, my Bible weighs more than that pile of papers he had. But Mr. Cole's wore down. I went down, and for him to walk from this end of the hall to that end of the hall, I had walked all the way downstairs, got the papers, shut the car, walked all the way back upstairs, and I was at the door before he was. And he said, I can't believe you do that, but I sure appreciate it. I said, why can't you believe it? He said, well, you're a preacher. I said, my job is serving people. I said, I'm having the time of my life. I told my wife yesterday, I said, I was so honored he felt like he could ask me. I can't tell you how good I felt. I didn't worry about getting love the rest of the day. God loved on me for doing something for somebody else. He got out of the car today. He's moaning and groaning like the rest of us with sore bones. And I said, Mr. Cole, I used to think I wanted two more legs and two more arms. I said, I'm old enough now to realize that means I would have hurt twice as much. I said, God knew what he was doing. He said, boy, did he. He said, I don't think I could take twice the pain I got right now. I said, I understand. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? When you start feeling that selfish tinge of, well, nobody loves me like I love them. Why don't you go out and love somebody? It doesn't have to be the person you want it from. Just go out and do something for somebody. Maybe it's being kind to somebody at work. Maybe it's going to the store and holding the door for people and just saying, here you go, you go first, you go first. Maybe it's not driving like an idiot and letting somebody go first at the stop sign instead of you. Ouch. Maybe it's being nice to one of your kids. Instead of petting the dog and kicking the kids, you kick the dog and pet the kids. Amen? You know, maybe it's... My dog this morning scared the bejeebers out of me. By 4:45, I was getting ready. I sat down on the bed and I was going to put my socks on. My wife's still sleeping. And I put my hand on the bed to get my foot up. And all of a sudden, I grabbed something furry and white. Amen? Whoa! I didn't know the dog jumped on the bed. Scared me to death. I almost jumped off the bed. If I could have jumped, I would have. It was too early to jump, amen? Maybe it's just doing something. By the way, doing something for someone, not expecting anything back. When you do expecting back, you're not loving, you're just doing. Giving to get is selfish. It's not love. Love is giving to someone who cannot or will not love you back. Ladies, you're not going to like me for this, but it's okay. There is nothing more worthless or more ugly than a newborn baby. Sorry. Pink, wiggly, as all they do is cry, eat, and have exhaust. All right? They don't do much else. That baby cannot love you back. But you love it because you're putting into it. You're giving to it. You're giving life to it. You gave life to it. Now, I know your baby was cute. All three of mine were ugly, all right? They looked like me, but they were just flat out ugly. And I'm sorry. They're just so cute. That's why you would marry a man. There ain't no man that in his right mind would marry another man because men are ugly. God made you blind for beauty, let me tell you, because there ain't no man that's good looking. Thank God. The moment I say that's a good looking man, just take me out back and shoot me, fellas. That's all I can tell you. You love when you can love somebody that cannot love you back. Brother Stoltz, loving is loving on those bus kids that don't have anything to love you back with. But they jumped off that bus this morning. Said, preacher, I love you. Morning, preacher, I love you. I just about can't stand Sunday mornings because of that. I love it. Then I look in those little faces, some of those big ugly faces that turn 14 for their birthday. I look at those faces and think, they don't know how much this old preacher loves them. Brother, I could charge hell with an unloaded squirt gun at that moment, let me tell you. How about loving your enemy? Your enemy doesn't want to love you back, but why don't you do something nice for your enemy? Getting quiet on that one. I better hurry. Love is satisfied in giving, not getting. Number two, God is the source of love, not us. Why don't you get your love from the source? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is the source of love. Everybody listen to this statement. Buying things and giving it to people is not love in and of itself. It's a cheap imitation. It's a cheap substitute. Too many people trying to buy love. Found out a long time ago, you can't buy friends, but you can rent them. When the money's gone, they're gone. Worst thing you can do is try to buy love from your kids. Why don't you just love them and quit worrying about the things? Now, that doesn't mean you never buy anything for your children. What I'm saying is, if you don't see your children very much, or good night, I don't see my children much. I got one living in Florida, and got two living in Kentucky. I don't see them very much. I don't get the chance to do much for them that way, but I communicate with them every day, and we love each other. Buying things is not love. Why don't you listen to them? Try to help them. Get excited with them. Find out what they're interested in and get interested in what they're interested in, not making them be interested in what you're interested in. And may I say this, we live in such a messed up generation to where dads want their kids to be what they could never be. Neil, did you know the fact that you played football well doesn't mean that you ought to try to live your second childhood through Malachi to make him a professional football player? Now, if he does, make sure he tithes. Amen. But can I tell you something? We try to live our life, and we get upset that our kids don't follow in our footsteps. Or they don't do what we want them to do in life. I can't live my children's life. I can bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They answer to God for their life, not me. I did all I could do to point them to Him. It's up to them to do the rest. Everybody doing okay? Meeting a need is a love, not necessarily meeting a want. Make sure their needs are met. And may I say this, don't expect everybody to think your expression of love means as much to them as it meant to you. Do you know, I have gotten things that really didn't mean a whole awful lot to me personally, but because of the love behind it, it meant a big deal. This week, Mrs. Barnes' son Wyatt, he was making cards. Well, the first one he made, he gave it to me. I don't know if it's on blue paper or purple paper. I'm colorblind. It all looks the same. Good night. Neil looks white to me. All right? Now, wait a minute. It doesn't matter. It's got, I think it's got a picture of a person on it or something on it, and then it's got his name on it. Do you know it's still in my stuff? A little while later, he said, "Preacher, did you get?" I said, "I got your card right here." Pulled it out of my, his old eyeballs went like that. Now, wait a minute, it's just a 5-year-old's drawing. But that little boy loves me and I love him. It meant something to him. Guess what? It'll mean something to me because he means something to me. I want him to know as he gets older, and I want him to know now his preacher loves him. Now, he and I play hard. Good night. He's got a yardstick he broke in half. We play swords. I make sure I win every time. I'll grab him and tickle him and roll him on the floor every once in a while. Every once in a while, I'll walk out of my office and I hear this, "Yeah!" And he's got both of them. "Yeah, I'm going to get you." I love it. As he gets older, I want him to be able to say, "Preacher, I need some help. I'm here. I love you." He takes after his dad. He's going to get in trouble one of these days. Amen? I want him to be able to say, "Preacher, messed up. It's okay. I love you anyway. Let's go." You see, everybody's opinion of the word love isn't the same. Let me show you what I mean. When I say the word fun, what's the first thing you think of? He doesn't think. Motorcycle. What is it? Motorcycle. All right. Jesse, when I say fun, what do you think of?
Books.
Books. All right. Let's see here. Johnny, when I say fun, what do you think of?
Video game.
All right. So when I say fun, he's thinking motorcycles, he's thinking video games, and she's thinking books. All right. We are all over the spectrum here. When I say the word love, it means something different to you than it does me. If I said the word pretty, Miss Kathy, what's the first thing you think of? And don't say hairy. All right?
Babies.
God help us. If I said pretty, Miss Sherry, what do you think of?
Flowers.
All right. Daisy, what do you think of? Flowers, all right? So I got one person thinking of babies and two people thinking of flowers. When I think pretty, I think of my wife. Now, I'm thinking about her. You're thinking about babies, not from us, all right?
No. And I got two people thinking about flowers. We all have a different concept of what that word really means. If I said the word comfort, let's see here. What do you think of?
Your chair.
Your chair. All right. Wally, when I say comfort, what do you think of?
Warm tea.
Warm tea. Mrs. Barnes? Chocolates. I knew that was coming. I didn't even have to ask, but I was going to let her say it, all right? I got one person thinking of tea. I got one person thinking of chocolate.
Yeah.
And I got somebody thinking about their chair. Now, that's what I'm thinking, amen? Can I tell you something? Not everybody has the same idea of comfort. Just like not everybody's going to have the same idea of love. There's nothing wrong with babies, as long as they're not mine. There's nothing wrong with flowers. There's nothing wrong with a chair or chocolate. Well, too much of it, maybe. There's nothing wrong with those things, but just because I think it's this doesn't mean everybody thinks the same way. The same is true about love. Just because you did it doesn't mean the whole world sees it as being as great as you thought it was. One of my favorite statements. Some of you think you're hot snot on a silver platter, but you're nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. Just because you thought it was something doesn't mean everybody sees it and values it the same way. My mom's mad at me for saying it, but that's all right. She's been mad before. She'll get over it. You know, everybody has a different view of that. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to hit the last point in a hurry here. You get loved by walking with God, not walking with man. Because God is the source of all love. If you want to be loved, walk with God. If you want to love, do what God said. It's that simple. You're not going to find love in another person the way you will finding it with God. The closer our nation was to God, the more our society loved. The farther we get away from God, the less love there is in our society. Number three, love does not focus on the bad. It tries to keep the best and pure in front of you to be the best and pure you can be. Because we're sinners, we're not perfect. Only God's love is perfect. My love is tainted by sin, just like your love is. But listen to this. The more closely to the Bible we live, the closer to perfect love we will have. The farther from the Bible we get, the farther from perfect love we have. I've never seen a couple fight to where both of them were walking with God like they should. Never. One or both is struggling in a walk with God. It's always the case. And I've counseled tens of thousands of marriages. It's always a walking with God issue. A parent and a child don't squabble with one another if they're both walking with God. You're not going to scream and fuss and feud and throw words back and forth and all the other stuff that goes on. I'll guarantee somebody's not walking with God like they should. Happens that fast. The closer to the source of love you get, the more pure it is. Our sinful flesh and our rebellious minds thinks our flesh knows better how to love than God does. Immorality, the LGBTQ, the touchy-feely, huggy world that we live in. You know, there was a day when you didn't hug somebody if they didn't share your last name. It wasn't related to you. Now, everybody, let's just all hug one another. No, we're not going to be that kind. I'll hug on her. You men just keep your hands to yourself, amen? I'm not going to hug yours. Quit hugging mine. Nobody does that. Don't worry about it. I used to say between 5 and 50. Now that I'm 50, it had to go 7 to 70, amen? Just about. Good night. Love doesn't focus on the bad. It focuses on the best that you can give someone. You know, we as parents would do better if we kept our kids focused on the good and not expose all the bad they do. Now, wait a minute. Focusing on the good will expose the bad. But if Kit brings, the best way to say this, Kit brings a report card home, and they got six subjects. They got four A's, one B, and one C. Most of you are going to be angry about the B and the C. By the way, most of you don't have the right to be angry because it was better than anything you brought home. But why don't we focus on the four A's and say, how about we work on the others a little bit? Is it the best you did? Let's try a little harder. You're real quick to point out the one C or the one B.
You would have been jumping up and down if you had only got one B or one C. Everything else was D's and F's. You know, if all you do is point out the bad, people will do bad so that they get your attention. Sometimes the only attention people get is when they do wrong. Now, believe me, I don't need the attention of the police. But when I see one, I don't have a bad attitude towards them because I haven't broken the law, have you? Some of you get mad because they pulled you over for speeding. Well, did you speed? Well, yeah, but I was within the... No, if you were over the speed limit, you get the ticket. Don't get mad at the officer. He's enforcing the law. He didn't write the law. Real love focuses on what good you do have, not what you want or wish they had. There's things I want my wife to have. I have the wherewithal to get it. I'm not going to focus on what we don't have. How about we focus on what we do have? There's some things I want for my children, but it doesn't mean they're going to get it. I got a boy that's yesterday took his physical test for the police department in Lexington, Kentucky. I'll be honest with you. You got to want that job these days. A couple years ago, he wanted it. I said, how bad do you want it? He said, I don't know. Man, he can't fight it anymore. He delayed his physical part of it so they could get in real good shape. He said, Dad, I can pass the minimums on the first day. He said, but I just want to blow it out of the water. So he took his test yesterday. I said, how'd you do? He said, I did real good, Dad. I said, did you blow it out of the water? He said, I don't know what you call blowing it out of the water, but I did real well. He said, I was way above the minimums on every area. I said, good. He wants it bad. He worked 12 hours the night before, slept for 4 hours, took a 2-hour physical test, and went back and worked 12 hours last night, got off at 7 o'clock this morning, jumped on a church bus to go pick up boys and girls, bring them to junior church. I'm so proud of that boy. And then he texted me about 5:30 this morning. He said, Dad, he said, I got to work till 7, but I got to help arrest somebody last night. That made the night go a whole lot better. I told my wife, I said, he's got it bad. He's got it bad. You know, why don't you show your kids how good life is instead of complaining about what you don't have? How about we quit pointing out the faults in our spouses and start praising what good they do? I better hurry up. I got one more thing I want to say here. Remember next. When we feel selfish and want to be loved, just go out and give something to somebody and go help somebody. Go love somebody. Give others what they don't want and don't expect them to give you what you want. Can I tell you something?
If you'll give up some of what you want and give somebody else what they want or need, your life will be much more satisfied. Too many people in this room want to get everything they want. How about you give up something you want, give to somebody else what they want? Are we doing okay?
We often live so selfish that we don't see that we push to get what we want so much that we convince ourselves it's what we need. Most of us could do without an awful lot of what we want. How about you give up what you want and give it to your wife? How about you give up some of what toys you have or want and give that to somebody else, maybe your wife or your kids. Not the toys, the money that would have gone into those toys. Preacher, how do I get what I want? How do I get the love that I'm looking for? Quit looking for it. Just quit looking for it. Learn to love. Getting so wrapped up in loving others, you don't have the time to see if you're getting the love you want. I stay so wrapped up in loving people, I don't often slow down enough to check to see how much is coming in the tank. I spend time with him to fill the tank up. Anything over that's cherries on top, amen? Let me say this. God promises you that the more you love, the more love will be satisfied in your life. Guaranteed. Well, how do you find a spouse? You get so wrapped up in loving everybody that you're supposed to love, one day you'll trip over them or knock them down in the hallway, like I did. Can I tell you something? We're so busy looking to get love that we pass by the recipe to get it. You get it by giving it. Quit concerning yourself with wanting to be loved and learn to love. Let me ask you this. Are you 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die? God loved you so much that he gave Jesus Christ for you. I'm going to make a statement here. Quit looking to love him your way and accept what he did and do it the way he wants. Quit trying to get there the way you want. Let's get there the way he wants and show God how much we really love him. The first act of love a human being can do is to get saved. Quit trusting your own righteousness, your own good works, your own church experience, your own this, and do what he said. Well, it doesn't make sense to me. Quit playing God and do it God's way. That is an act of love.
Maybe you've been saved. You've never been baptized. Obey him. Maybe you need to get in church more and join the church. Let's do it. Can I tell you something? Quit looking to be loved and let's start loving to satisfy that desire to be loved. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. Say that to me. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon was something I needed today. That was for me personally. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens and dozens of hands. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. When the piano begins to play, if you raised your hand, say, Lord, use that in my life, preacher. How about you move a little forward and get on your knees and pray, or maybe just stay at your seat and pray for a moment and ask God to fill that need in your life. If you've never been saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today's the day. If you've been saved and never baptized, we could care for that today. If you've been saved and baptized, you'd like to join our church, we'd love to have you.